Good day and welcome to the 4SC Q2 Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Jochen Orlowski. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good afternoon and good morning to the US. My name is Jochen Orlowski. I'm the Investor Relations Manager at 4SC. It's our pleasure to welcome you to today's conference call on 4SC's financial results for the second quarter of 2015. Joining me on the phone today is Enno Spillner, CEO and CFO of 4SC. At the end of the call for the Q&A session, we will be joined by Dr. Susanne Dannhauser-Riedl, our Chief Medical Officer. Before we start, I would like to briefly remind you that during this call, we may make projections or estimates regarding plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With this, I'd like to turn over the call to Enno.
Yes, thank you, Jochen, and welcome everyone to our 2015 Q2 Results Conference Call. It's a pleasure having you on the call here today once again, and our plan is to provide you with an update on our operational and financial highlights for the recent quarter, as well as presenting an outlook for the rest of the year. At the end of the call, we, as usual, we'll open up the line for your questions and we'll answer accordingly. So let me start with the operational highlights. Q2 2015 was a very productive quarter at 4C as we continue to make progress at all levels of the company. We are very happy to announce that we were able to implement a successful 29 million euro capital increase at the beginning of July, as you probably all read. And this was ending at the upper end of our proposed target range. Proceeds from this transaction will be used to conduct our phase 2 clinical trial of resminostat in the hematological tumor indication of cutaneous T-cell lymphoma, or CTCL, and this trial is supposed to happen mainly in Europe. According to our current plans, we intend to start the trial in the first half of 2016, and expect results from this study to be available in the second half of 2018. We believe CTCL is a very attractive commercial opportunity since there are only few treatment opportunities available for advanced disease stages, in particular in Europe. HDAC inhibitors have already proven their clinical efficacy in CTCL, with two compounds of this class already having been approved in the US and some other countries in Asia Pacific, but none to date in Europe. Therefore, we see an exciting market gap in this indication in Europe, which we want to fill with resminostat, ideally on the basis of, or already on the basis of the phase 2 trial we are currently preparing. We do have a proposed trial design in place, and one of the important next steps will be the interaction with the EMA, making sure we get the agency's buy-in on our suggested clinical development plan. Aside from CTCL, we will use remaining proceeds to explore and prepare additional development opportunities with our pipeline products in the coming years, for example, for C22 as another clinical stage oncology asset. Here, I wish to mention in particular the field of immune priming, in which we have presented exciting initial preclinical data with resminostat at the end of this quarter. As you are all aware, the activation and improvement of cancer patients' immune systems is currently one of the most exciting topics in the field of oncology across the world. We believe resminostat could make an impact here, thus potentially improving the efficacy of other cancer immunotherapies. As you may recall, resminostat in previous trials has shown good capabilities regarding combination with other therapeutics, and we will actively pursue this approach initially in other preclinical models which we have progressed in the reporting period. And we will keep you updated once we have generated additional data. In the reporting quarter, we also signed an agreement with another well-known licensing partner for Asia through the Asian subsidiary of Minarini Group, Italy's largest pharmaceutical company. The agreement between 4SC and Minarini Asia Pacific covers the potential clinical development of resminostat in the entire Asia Pacific region, excluding Japan, obviously, where we have already Yakult as our partner on board since 2011. In addition to upfront payments, performance-based milestones should, in the midterm, result in increased revenue for 4C and accelerate the compound development in different markets, and obviously also in different indications. Our Japanese partner, Yakult Honsha, is also making good progress in its ongoing phase 2 trials with resminostat in liver cancer, or HCC, and non-small cell lung cancer. We expect that the results of these trials in Asian patient populations, particularly the evaluation of our potentially predictive biomarker ZFP64, will give us important insights for the potential further development of resminostat in Western countries. Which means, once we have the data available from Yakult Honsha, we could further fine-tune the trials and the development opportunities in the Western world. Yakult furthermore started a phase 1 clinical trial on patients with pancreatic or biliary tract cancer that even further expands the range of clinical applications for the compound administered. Our two other clinical stage cancer compounds, 4C22 and 4C205, have also delivered and developed very nicely. Based on very good results from a phase 1 trial with 4C22 in patients with advanced hematological tumors, showing a good safety profile, excellent tolerability, as well as promising initial indications of efficacy, we are currently investigating options for clinical development in phase 2. Whether this may be the case together with potential partners or standalone, 4C currently is under evaluation. In the second quarter, we presented positive results from a phase 1 trial with our third oncology candidate called 4C25 at the ASCO in Chicago. The results show that by inhibiting a certain protein called EG5, which has been shown to play a key role in cell division and thus tumor growth, oral 4C205 can achieve potentially efficacious dose levels at good safety and good tolerability. We are focused on continuing development for this compound and are mainly searching for qualified academic partners which have the scientific and clinical expertise to further evaluate the potential of the compound in patients. For example, in context of investigator-initiated studies, this could be an option. Last but not least, it's a great pleasure having Susanne Danhauser-Riedl on board here at 4C. As most of you already know, Susanne joined us since April as the CMO, adding medical and clinical expertise and proven track record. Susanne will be in charge of our clinical programs and is currently heavily involved in the preparation of the resminostat phase 2 CTCL trial. So now coming to the financial highlights of our quarterly reporting, I will now take you through these financial numbers. And before I run through those financial highlights, I would like to remind you that the figures we will present here refer to group consolidated figures for the period, and we have rounded up for simplicity. Full details of the group's figures, including the individual reporting segment's development, as well as the discovery and collaborative business segment, can be found on our website. Over the quarter, so Q2, our consolidated revenue amounted to €496,000, which represents an 80% drop from Q2 2014. Consolidated revenue in the first half of 2015 amounted to €2.5 million, compared to €4 million in the first half of 2014, therefore representing a 37% decrease from the period in 2014. The main reason for this decrease compared to the previous year were a number of positive one-off effects in 2014.
In the development segment, we received a milestone payment from Yakult Honsha in Q2 2014 and generated revenues through the production of resminostat clinical trial material for Yakult, which we passed through from an accounting perspective, so to say. In the discovery and collaborative business segment, deferred income from an upfront payment received in February 2013 in connection with the license option agreement with Leo Pharma was generated only up until 2014, or to be precise, to August 2014. Moreover, in the discovery and collaborative business segment, cost allocations to collaboration partners were significantly lower compared to previous year, the research collaboration with Leo Pharma was ended according to plan at the end of Q1 2015. The development segment generated revenue for the first half year of 1.7 million euros, a decrease of 12% compared to the previous year. The discovery and collaborative business segment contributed revenues of 0.8 million euros in the first 6 months of 2015, compared to 2 million euros in the previous years for the just salary. Operating expenses amounted to 2.9 million euros in the second quarter of 2015, compared to 4.3 million euros in the previous year. Operating expenses were at 6.3 million euros in the first half of 2015, compared to 7.9 million euros in the first half of the previous year. The operating loss for the second quarter of 2015 was at 2.4 million euros compared to 1.8 million euros during the same period in 2014. Operating loss for the first 6 months of 2015 was at 3.7 million and thus slightly improved by 4% in 2015 compared to the prior year period. Finally, referring to the earnings per share, owing to the decrease in earnings for the quarter and the much lower number of shares resulting from our 1-for-5 reverse share split completed in April of this year, the loss per share increased to 0.24 euro in the second quarter of 2015. In Q2 2014, loss per share was officially 0.04 euro per share. However, adjusted for the reverse share stock split in 2015, it was 0.18 euros per share. For the first half year of 2015, the loss per share was at 0.39 euros. In H1 2014, based on the much higher number of shares, then the loss per share was 0.08. But again, adjusted for the reverse stock split in 2015, it amounted to the exactly same figure as in H1 2015, namely 0.39 euros. So now coming to the outlook of our brief presentation today. Overall, we had a really good operational quarter and we made good progress with our pipeline products, particularly the continuing of our phase 2 trial with our partner Yakult Honsha for resminostat in patients of Asian origin in HCC and in non-small cell lung cancer. We are also excited by the positive data with 4C25. The results, as I said, have been presented at the ASCO in Chicago. We are very enthusiastic about our new partnership with Menarini Asia Pacific for resminostat and the advances we are making to get this promising drug into the hands of doctors and hopefully patients later on. We remain committed to taking the next steps of bringing our important new medicines, in particular resminostat, to patients and thus exploit the considerable potential present in our research and development program. We are very happy that we were able to implement the successful 29 million euro capital increase last month. We are also excited to have attracted new shareholders into the company, investors from Germany, from other countries in Europe and the US, both generalists and specialists. So a really nice mix of new and existing shareholders. In addition, we could strengthen the position of some selective stakeholders as well, and we also welcome Wellington Partners as one of the new cornerstone investors at Forestry. We are excited to use the proceeds to advance the company and our indications further. In particular, we look forward to the further preparation of our planned phase 2 study in advanced CTCL, which we want to kick off early next year, so early 2016. And all in all, based on our current estimations, these funds should finance the company into the second half of 2018. Due to the preparations for the phase 2 trial, we expect our cash consumption to raise significantly during the rest of the year. In the first year, our monthly average cash consumption so far stood at roughly 600,000 euros per month, and we currently still fine-tune our calculations for the guidance for the whole year of 2015, so we will update you on that. But we expect, as of today, to arrive at an average cash burn of just under 1 million euros per month in 2015. So all in all, we remain very optimistic about the future of 4C, and we look forward to updating you on in due course on the progress of our novel cancer compounds. With that, I would like to thank you for your interest, and we are now open to your questions, and operator, please kindly take it from here.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Marietta Niemitz of Equinet. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. The first one would be on 202. So it's great to see potential in both the solid and the hematite tumors. And, I mean, I guess from a scientific and feasibility perspective, it would make a lot of sense for you to take the next steps yourself, and you really alluded to that possibility. So what are some of the financing options to do that? Do you think it could be realistic to do another rights issue in the near future? Or would there be potential other arrangements where a silent partner provides the financing? And in that context also, you said that you would be dedicating some of the funds from the proceeds to 202, sort of in terms of exploring feasibility assessments, but you're also saying that for actual phase 2 clinical development work, you would need additional funding. So I'm just kind of wondering where you draw the line, just basically how far you could take that product without getting any additional funding in. And then maybe after that I'll also ask you a question on the guidance.
Okay, thank you, Marietta. That's of course, two very important questions, and pleasure having you on the call again. So, first of all, it's absolutely correct, your interpretation. The funds that we raised mainly are dedicated to CTCL phase 2 Risminostat. That's clearly the major objective, and that was the major target of this fundraise. So that's kind of secured, and we will be working on that. So this means we can do some further evaluation of 4C202, and this also means that we can do some slight work here, so to say, but it's not meant to trigger a capital to trigger a phase 2 trial for 4C202 out of this funding. This would require significant additional financial resources which we currently don't have on board. Can we secure them? That's obviously a good question. We are having our thoughts around that. We are in talks with different parties. The question is it a smart move to give the asset right now to a partner or to maintain it in-house? And then obviously the question how to finance, and this is something that we are yet discussing. We are in the midst of that. And financing by capital increase is always an option. But going out immediately after the capital increase, as we just did right now, is probably not the most likely version, and we are not planning any or not having any detailed plans on this right now. With regard to the dedicated funds that you were wondering about, this should allow us to further evaluate on which indications we might choose in hematological and or solid tumors. There's a good rationale for following up both pathways, thanks to the pathway being involved for C22 and to the data that we have received so far. And this would also, the funds would also allow to really prepare and discuss and prepare clinical trial designs, but that's pretty much it what we can do with that and also discussing with KOLs, but beyond that we would require additional funding.
Okay, thank you. Just quickly on your guidance for 2015, I appreciate that will be provided in September and you have a lot of moving parts with your fine-tuning, but can you just maybe provide a range or a very broad overview how you see your cash use evolving? And what are some of the big swing factors for 2015 spend? And, you've given us cash reach to 2018, so should we think of cash use as being fairly linear over that period, or are there sort of like, you know, periods where it could potentially spike up? Is it more front-end or more back-end loaded? That would just be very helpful for our modeling. Thank you.
No, I mean, that's also a natural question, which is quite logical. And as we already wrote in our annual report from last year, where we said if we will do fundraising and succeed, then pick up again clinical speed in terms of homegrown development here, then this would change the financial guidance for 2015 significantly. Exactly this is going to happen. We will heavily invest into CTCL, and as you know, clinical trials is a little bit like flying a plane. When you want to take off, you have to go full throttle, so the cost, particularly at the beginning of ramping up such a trial and then starting it, is significantly higher while being underway with the trial. So 2015 is dedicated to doing further preparational work, when then hopefully in the first half of 2016 we should be able to kick off the trial officially. So this will mean that this is basically the 12 months that will take the significant amount of the whole trial cost, second half of 2015 and first half of 2016, which will end up for 2015, as I said already, of roughly an average monthly burn rate of 1 million euros at the end of the day. For 2016, we are still calculating that because obviously this will also be influenced by potential milestones, revenues, and so on.
Okay, so you're saying that basically the average burn rate for all of 2015 should go to roughly 1 million euros? I mean,
yes.
Have a bit of give and take. I mean, whether it's 900 or 1.1 or so forth, that's probably difficult to say right now, but just to make sure I understand it correctly, so you're calculating the average burn rate for all of 2015, and that would then come to roughly 1 million per month.
You got that correctly, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will take our next question from Tim Franklin of Edison. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Firstly, well done on the cash in the bank and also getting a significant new investor in. First question was really the CTCL study. I'm trying to understand what are the rate limiting steps now in order to start that. Has the protocol been signed off? Is it on its way to ethics committee approval? If you could just give some sort of indication as to what needs to be done to take this forward and to commence the trial. And also, in terms of the combination potential with checkpoint inhibitors, if you could give some more color on that, please, and the concept of CTCL priming by resminostat. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. Welcome on the call, and I think we will split this up, and Susanne will give you some insight on the timing and also what is the needs and the next steps for the CTCL trial, and I will then get back to the combination potential of resminostat in terms of the immunoprime.
Hello, everybody. My name is Susanne Danhauser, and thank you for the question. So the steps regarding the CTCL study and the timeline. We have already started with study design and CRO selection. So the next step will be to get really buy-in on this design from the EMA, the European agency. That means to get official scientific advice. And when we follow the timelines of the EMA, we will have that advice here in-house, hopefully in December 2015. And then we will, in parallel, the protocol will be prepared and all the preparation stuff so that we hopefully go to submissions to ethics committees and competent authorities in the first quarter of 2016 and having the first patient in the second quarter of 2016. This answers your question regarding next steps and timelines.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, then I'll come to the second part of the question, combination potential. I mean, just briefly referring to the history and out of that context, we have had resminostat so far in different indications already in combinations, like in HCC second line with the sorafenib, for instance. Also, we're currently running trials with the sorafenib resminostat combination in Japan by Yakult Honsha in the first line HCC setting. We have the non-small cell lung cancer trial in the second and third line setting, phase two in combination with docetaxel. We had a colorectal cancer phase one trial in combination with FOLFIRI. So overall, we have already some experience here, and what we could see is that obviously resminostat is working very well in combination with other assets besides its own efficacy, working here in combination with others. And also with regard to the side effect profiles, we did not see, experience any severe negative synergies, so to say, which would be to the disadvantage of the treated patients. So said that up front, we think clearly resminostat brings the potential of being combined with other assets. And as you all know, right now one of the things that is very hot in the community is really about immuno-oncology, and currently different players looking how they can, or searching how they can boost their checkpoint inhibitors, their PD-1s or PD-L1s or whatever you want to name them. And here we have generated recently and presented at the ITOC2 conference in Munich in March early stage preclinical data with resminostat showing or indicating that resminostat may be one of these immunopriming assets and in combination with some of these inhibitors really boosting the efficacy of these therapies. This is still early, I have to say, so we are currently on the path of generating additional preclinical data to confirm what we have seen in other models. But what we have seen so far, that we're obviously having an impact on upregulating the ligands of the NK cells, the natural killer cells. We are downregulating IDO, and we are also having a positive impact on TAAs, tumor-associated antigens. And if this can be confirmed, we should have a high potential for resminostat being combined with these acids, and that would then be the next logical step, really trying to test that and figuring out whether this is working.
Okay, thank you. If I may, just one further question on 02 and 05. You mentioned that you were already in potential discussions with partners on those two. Was it on both of those products or one of those products? And if so, then surely in that case there must be a certain level of confidence in such early data that these are compelling enough to take to potential partners at this stage.
So with regard to 4C25, I mean, we presented the phase one data at ASCO in Chicago, as I mentioned, and they look quite encouraging. And just as a reminder to everyone, this is an anti-mitotic drug which is focusing on actively dividing the cells. And what we did is really having a continuous dosing regimen on a daily basis. So every day a low dose of 20 milligrams without any rest for the patients in between. This is only feasible because this drug is already available compared to other compounds of this class, which are all IV, at least to all our knowledge. So based on that, we have some encouraging data. However, it's phase one data, and it's in a rather small patient population. And prior to going into a significant phase two trial or a large-scale phase two trial, we would like to spin a little bit of our head around and digging a little bit more into the potential of this asset. And this could be done, for instance, in early partnerships with clinics across the globe, in Europe and the U.S. in particular, elaborating on investigator-initiated trials, for instance, and yeah, just getting a better overall picture on where 4C25 might be well suited to. And this is the next step that we want to take before moving it to a significant phase 2 step.
So some of the discussions you have been having are more generally with investigator-led type studies, and there is some interest there.
Yeah, that's currently more the level. So it's really talking with academia and experts in that field, and some big clinics who indicated interest in pursuing tests with the asset in patients in specific indications.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will now take a question from Thomas Schiessler of Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Thomas Schiessler, Frankfurt. Hi, gentlemen. Question on the competitive landscape in Europe concerning the resminostat CTCL field. Is it true that Salinza once had been or should have been put into the market in early 5 years ago? And do you know, and could you update us why Merck didn't made it till today? And the second question is on the pediatric purposes of this minister. Is this of any interest for you?
Okay, first to the first question regarding Salinza and why it's not approved in the European countries. So Merck tried to get approval in the early 2000s, and this was a single-arm study. And so the EMA said with a single-arm study they were not able to assess risk-benefit properly, and so the no market authorization would have gained, so Salinza was withdrawn for filing and has never done a randomized trial. So therefore we are going for a randomized trial, not to get into the same position. And this is the story about Salinza in the European countries.
So that's the learning for Forest C. Not doing a single-arm study once more.
Yeah, I think that's the learning. Let's put it the other way around. It's the charm of the strategy that we are proposing right now is that we have two approved HDAC inhibitors in CTCL. So that really says the class or the mode of action of this class is working in CTCL. In parallel, we do have preclinical data here at resminostat or with resminostat that indicate that also resminostat should be working in CTCL. This allows us to reduce the risk of this development and at the same time at moderate cost and shortened timelines heading for market approval. I mean, obviously, the thing that we want to do and that we still have to do, Susanne mentioned that, we will have to discuss this with the EMA. And no matter how the trial design looks like, it is something that needs to find the buy-in of the EMA. That's the crucial part, because we are heading for a trial in Europe, for an approval in Europe, and we have to be in line with the expectations of the EMA. Because that's a niche, it's an orphan drug, it's a high medical need because there's not many other treatment opportunities around. And if we want to fill that gap, we have to be in line with the EMA. So that will be the most important part. Susanne, do you want to take the second question with regards to, I think it was pediatric, you were, thank you.
Yeah, pediatric indications for resminostat. So as we are going for an orphan disease from a regulatory point of view, for an orphan disease, at the moment we don't have to go for pediatric indications. But on the other hand, we are thinking about, because if you have a high unmet medical need from the mode of action, there could also be some indications in the pediatric situation. But it's just thinking about it, it's not confirmed yet.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
As a reminder, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. There are currently no questions in the phone queue. However, as a final reminder, please press star 1. As there appear to be no questions at this time, I would like to hand the call back to Mr. Spillner for any additional or closing remarks.
Yes, thank you, operator. And so I think we can conclude the trial at this point for today. So thank you very much, all of you, for attending our call and your questions in this very busy reporting day. We are aware about that. And please stay tuned for further news flow from FOSC in the coming weeks and months. And I hope you can all enjoy the summer, at least in Munich. It's beautiful. And for those of you who still have the occasion ahead of you, I wish you a rewarding and re-energizing time, and then we can talk again for our Q3 numbers, the latest. So thank you all, and talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.